Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jackson. I'll go with John Quincy Adams.
Okay.
I'll go with
Gurry.
Jackson.
Michael?
I can sort of see your computer screen.
So don't guess then. Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
And AJ. Best fact about it. This is another one of my favorite.
He ate it?
The parrot.
Yeah, he ate
no,
the parrot.
No, the parrot
was... That was Thanksgiving. It's the parrot.
Trained to say what?
The parrot was moved from his funeral because it wouldn't stop cursing.
Is that right? That's correct.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Alrighty then, we're live at Chatter, where we open for breakfast when I do the show at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, inside the district line in Friendship Heights. Very nice crowd here today. Not the record crowd we had yesterday, but yesterday was a holiday. Tori Clark is with us. Gary Braun is with us. Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel will run the board, do the news. Liz Clark will join us in a little while. I have a couple of announcements about the show. One is that we are not doing a show tomorrow. I'm going to try and take advantage of the weather
tomorrow.
Good
for you.
And I'm going to try and get out and play golf.
Very nice.
As early in the morning as I can, probably around 9 o'clock, and then go to PTI.
The weather, for those not local, after...
Supposed
after
to be 75 tomorrow.
After measurable 75. Precipitation for like 15 of 18 days,
like
or something.
Last year, it's
supposed to be in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow.
The rain's coming back.
The rain is coming back
yeah,
on
Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
Isn't this bad for the golf course? Isn't the golf course itself very wet?
The golf course is wet, but I'm not. I don't weigh 700
well, what,
pounds.
Well, what I heard this morning is that cherry blossoms are booming.
Or
blooming, and other things are budding, and they're concerned. If you remember, this happened last year.
It's going to go back to cold.
Last year it happened. They started early, and then there was a March freeze, and it basically destroyed the cherry blossoms.
So that's what happens.
Yeah. Watch out,
stuff's
going to
wake up.
Let me just say that. That's
right. Start taking that Claritin.
You have a lot of that stuff that I don't have. By the way, if cherry blossoms are stupid enough to come out and get fooled,
right?
Okay, this is what they deserve.
Stupid cherry blossoms.
On another note, on a more important business note for the functioning of Chatter, for those people listening to this show, if you're listening on Tuesday or if you wait until Wednesday, on Wednesday, it was such a success on last Wednesday's Valentine's Day to have kids eat free and half-price bottles of wine that we are repeating ourselves.
Wow.
We're doing it again. Kids can eat free tomorrow night as long as an adult orders an adult entree. Kids can eat free, and we have half-price bottles of wine in case anybody was thinking of coming back.
Do we actually ever declare age limit on that?
On kids?
Yeah. My son Colin wants me to take him out to dinner this
week.
No, it doesn't work like that. I think it's probably like off the kids' menu or something.
So it's a size thing?
He would eat two ribeyes.
I don't know.
A size thing.
I don't know. You know what? I don't run the restaurant. Elizabeth and Ron do that. You have to see, you can take that up with them.
So is that, that's not a continuing Wednesday promotion necessarily.
Not to my knowledge.
But we are doing it again tomorrow.
This is a Valentine's Day makeup.
Right.
If you messed up.
Right. You can make, that's a very good way of putting it. I hadn't thought of that. Matt Rennie,
Redemption.
Who is an editor at the Washington Post in sports, who I like very, very much. Matt Rennie, who listens to this show, sent me this. He said, "So this is crazy to no one but me, but 35 years ago, my grandparents, upon retirement, were members of the Nutmeg Curling Club."
No.
Sent swag to the pot.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, my grandma never really got into it, but my grandpa was hardcore. Turns out, at least back in the mid-'80s, it was more of a drinking club with a curling problem. No wonder Gramps was there 5 to 6 days a week. Anyway, yet another connection among the tapestry of littles.
Wow.
So I said, "Do you want the fleece?" And he said, "Could I wear it for golf?" And I said, "Sure." So he gets that.
In what state did Grandma and Grandpa curl?
That's Connecticut.
Connecticut.
That's in Bridgeport.
So yesterday, Chief from Somerville, Massachusetts, who is here again today because obviously got so drunk yesterday he couldn't leave the area. He hands me a bag for, you know, recycling for to give away and says, "Please accept this marshmallow fluff as tribute for the prize closet." Fluff is the main ingredient in the classic New England sandwich, the Fluffer Nutter, and was invented in Somerville, Massachusetts 100 years ago. In fact, we have an annual celebration called What the Fluff Festival. The suggestion to bring you this regional delicacy was made by my fellow Somerville Little Brian Shulman, who reached out to me using his Facebook subscription, signed La Cheeserie. So I'm giving out today, there's just the right amount of people for the tables, of jars of marshmallow fluff. And then I get to Chief. He says, "Well, I brought it to you yesterday." And I said, "Oh.
Doesn't want it
so
back.
I guess you don't want it." And he goes, "No, I don't want
it's
it.
It's heavy."
So we have one left if somebody else wants that. I don't really have much. This is
a
dead week.
Short show today.
Well, this is a dead week. I mean, This is what happens on the PTI show. We need to fill 22 minutes, 23 minutes of airtime every single day. And there's not enough stories to go around. We are limited. We can't just do political stories. That's right. Not what we do. We have to do
And you
sports.
Have to fill your time. I mean, this show, you don't have
no,
to
this is flexible. No, right. I have to do right. that. So we are looking desperately for guests for, you know, the 5 good minute segments.
Yeah, Steve Young. His go-to.
About what? You know,
are you allowed to have Olympic athletes on?
Yes. I assume we are allowed to.
That's
I
tough.
Assume
very early in the morning.
We're not allowed to have highlights, though.
Right. That's just amazing.
We're not allowed
Even
to have highlights.
After it's occurred?
Well, it's possible. I don't know exactly how that works.
It's what pretty heavily embargoed. Highlights.
But I'm assuming, since the Washington Post can interview people,
yeah.
why can't we interview
yeah.
people?
Yeah.
I just think that one of the things that happens is that the Olympics, they're not as big a deal. Once you have exclusivity on what you can show,
yeah.
a lot of people, they don't come around. You know, it
yeah.
doesn't really matter. I'm not sure that ESPN watchers are Olympic watchers in the way that they are basketball and football watchers.
Especially when the Americans aren't doing so well.
We're not doing well. We'll
talk
to Liz about
that. Why isn't somebody, maybe it's Liz, why aren't people making a bigger deal? The United States clearly sent one of the biggest delegations, right?
We always
hundreds
do.
And hundreds spend millions and millions and millions of dollars,
yes.
and they're not doing so well. And watching the Today Show struggle to
Does
make
that
a really
you?
Big deal.
Does it bother you that we don't
that
win a lot
choking?
Of medals?
Well, I don't. It bothers me that they're choking. I stayed up very late last night to watch ice dancing as prep for the show because I knew all of you would watch it. And, you know, one pair fell. This is a nice dancing. One pair
but
fell.
But isn't it nice that brother and sister
that's a little weird.
Won bronze?
A little
that
weird.
Was very nice. The ship
don't
sibs.
You think it's a little weird?
I don't know.
It's very
Did you
close.
Watch their performance?
I will tell you what's weird. It's what was weird was the pairs performing in the movie with Will Farrell.
Oh, yes.
Blades of Glory.
No, that was spectacular.
That was sort of funny and weird.
So is this a new trend? All the reporters over there are saying you're focusing too much on medal counts,
yeah,
and all these fourth and fifth place finishes are almost just as good.
But they're not. They're
no,
but they're not just
they're
as
not.
Good.
No.
If you don't win a medal, you don't win a medal.
That take is a fabrication of that's, NBC Universal.
Yeah, I think that's probably nonsense, yeah. but I would argue with you on this. When you talk about how much money we spend and how many people we send, and I won't argue with that, these sports are not American sports pursued by the vast majority of Americans. They're pursued by a small group of people who have access to snow most of the year. And it's not a coincidence that Norway dominates. Norway is covered in snow.
But the U.S. athletes who are competing against the Norwegian athletes
right.
have access to
yes,
snow year-round.
Yeah.
They live
yes,
over
they
there. By the way, the best line so far is from Adam Rippon. I don't know if you saw. Originally, he...
The breakout star.
The breakout star. He is
finished
great.
40th.
And he's on with yeah. Hoda and whatchamacallit, Savannah, the other yeah. day, and they're just making the best because he's so adorable. And they said, aren't you just having the best Olympics? Or is anybody having a better Olympics than you? And they meant the Olympic experience. He's looked at him and goes, no, I think the people who won are probably having better
that's
Olympics.
Good for him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Winning
is important.
Winning is important, and we are not winning. And yeah. I grant you that. But Norway, they don't do that well in swimming, do they? They don't do that well in track and field. Norway doesn't. Now,
basketball.
In the old days, they don't do that well in basketball. In the old days, they had a great distance runner, Lasse Wieren, one of the greatest wow. distance runners of all time. So I think was Norwegian, but he may have been Finnish. But he was from up there.
Again.
You know, he's from the up there part.
Again, the amount of money.
Northern Lights territory.
Yeah,
the amount
there.
Of money we put into this, you think a little bit?
No, you're right.
I just think we're getting right. soft.
I wanted to, the one thing we had last night, was the continuing degradation of Trae Young. This basketball player at Oklahoma, freshman at Oklahoma, who about one-third of the way through the season was being hailed as the greatest basketball player in the history of mankind. And why isn't he compared more favorably to Steph Curry? Because he can step out from 28 to 30 feet, and he can hit threes, and he leads the country in assists, and he leads the country in scoring, and it's never been done before since Pete Maravich, like 80 years ago. The greatest player of all time, probably Pete Maravich, in college anyway. So then what happens is that other coaches begin to look at Trae Young and his tendencies and how to play him. And Trae Young just goes down and down and down. Last night, he was 3 of 13. He had 11 points at Kansas. Kansas is a great team. And it's the worst performance he's had all year. And the Oklahoma has now lost 6 in a row. They're 2-9 in their last 11. And what occurs to me is that they pay people to coach. You know, like at the end of your bench, you got 4 guys in suits And during the game, they don't do much. They just hand out the chairs and they give out the water. But during the rest of the week, they're breaking down film and they're figuring, if we stop this guy right here, right now, in this manner, he can't hurt us. And that's what's happened to
Oklahoma.
And
he's on a team.
They were number four in the country. They're like, they may not make the NCAAs.
Well, that early schedule, I mean, they had, I guess they beat a Wichita State team, a highly ranked Wichita State team. They had a win at TCU, but he was racking up.
He was great.
Now, I have a question about him because you were sort of off of him
early.
Before people were even on, like, what was that about? Does Wilbon love him or something?
No, I mean,
because you were very early.
He's very slight. Now, I you can come
and
back.
And he was
to
turning
me.
It over eight and nine
That's
times.
That's what he would do. He would do 8 to 9 turnovers a game. His ratio of assist to turnovers was bad. It was like no better than 2 to 1. Whereas what you wanted to be is 4 to 1 and 5 to 1, and it was no better than 2 to 1. But they put the ball in his hands all the time.
Yes.
His coach Lon Kruger is a former point guard. And they put the ball in his hands all the time. He was spectacular to watch when the shots were dropping.
Right.
But now, if you see, he'll go 1-on-3 and just hoist it.
Yeah,
I don't know how good
they are. So a college team with a guy who has the potential to score 30 points a game,
he'll
which
be a
he
good
does,
pro.
Is stoppable. A college team with a guy that can do that is stoppable, as you saw last night. So.
Well, do you remember when Steph Curry, I never thought would be this good because he's really thin. He's really thin.
Yes.
He's really great. Steph Curry is an all-time great player. But in college, Jimmy Patsos stopped him by putting 2 and 3 guys on him and holding him to 0 and losing by 25.
Said, we're going to lose, but that guy's not going to beat
and
us,
that's
which,
what
I, which I respect.
That's what happened. That's why we like Patsos.
We may lose.
That's why he's coaching at Siena and not in the pros. Yeah.
Steph Curry, watching a little bit over this weekend, he looks even lighter to me.
He does.
Is it possible since last season that he's
he could have become a
lighter.
Vegan for all we know.
Yeah. He's like a
he
water
weigh
bug,
much.
Though. I mean, the way he can move, he's so quick. And he has improved tremendously as a pro. He could always shoot.
Don't compare a college freshman to Steph Curry.
Yeah. That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair to the kid.
Yeah.
It's really not fair to the kid. Maryland won last night. Maryland beat Northwestern. I don't want to talk to Wilbon because Wilbon... Northwestern
twice in a week, right, or a couple weeks.
Northwestern is now 15-14 and 6-10 in league.
Lake.
Northwestern had expectations, and they're no good.
And this, just for those who can't see, this smile is coming over to his face, and a little gleam to his eye.
Can't hear the sparkle.
So if we stink, I think other people should stink too.
Especially if it's a Michael Wilbon.
I mean, that makes me a little bit happier than most things make me. But that makes me happy. I think later in the show, I don't think we should do this now because I think it's going to require more time, and that is Fergie's anthem.
No,
yeah.
Fergie's
the
anthem.
The anthem or the apology? I mean, didn't we talk about the anthem yesterday? Or?
Not enough, because I hadn't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Now I've seen it. Now we need to talk about it a lot more. And her apology was fine.
I liked her apology.
Her apology was fine. She said, look, I tried something.
Yeah,
I went forward, and apparently I stunk.
Yeah.
You know, but Wilbon said, speaking of Wilbon, said yesterday, I liked it. And I said,
he's the only one I've heard.
I said,
that.
You're the one. Yes, you're living in a silo of one. nobody else liked it. The players were laughing.
Let us
get out of here now because we want to get to Liz Clark, right? Liz is going to join us when we return.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Casper ad. You've heard me talk about Casper for some time now. That's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right amounts of both sink and bounce, which is important in the mattress game. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool, which is important for real people, and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Like in my house, where it's normally 87 degrees, it's good to be able to sleep cool.
It's warm enough.
Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array. Man, that is
That's
like saying Russell Westbrook. Wide array of other...
Almost just started saying expertly at the beginning of this read.
Expertly, not expertly. Expertly, I think, is that not the preferred pronunciation?
I was just...
Other products, like pillows and sheets, to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how-do-they-do-that-sized box, plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. For listeners to this high-quality podcast, Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/Tony, using the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Neil Dixon Smith, who writes, I've been a loyal online listening little since the early aughts, when I would stream your show to keep sane while slacking in my corporate cubicle. I was even there during the days when the mics were left on during commercial breaks and the listeners were treated to some delightful, not safe for work banter while everyone enjoyed a bagel. I've long since left those office days and now hustle full-time as a solo guitarist in Chicago, performing old-school Latin styles for events and parties and the occasional concert. Your show now helps me keep sane as I run my daily finger exercises. I thought your listeners would enjoy this tune from my more obscure singer-songwriter past, a piece of psychedelic pop called Please the Lunatics. Like that, a meditation on the impulse to perform. I hope you dig it. So this is performed by Neil Dixon Smith and Tobasol from the album 68 Degrees. Tobasol would soon be known as the Great Lakes Myth Society, releasing several terrific albums and great regional success around the Midwest.
Very, very lovely. Isn't that great?
Very lovely. Liz Clark joins us all the way from Korea now. We haven't talked to her in a while. We're so glad to talk to her. And instead of asking her at the beginning questions about the Olympians, because actually we don't care about the Olympians, Tori wants them all shot because they don't win. We'll get
I just
to
want
that.
To inspire them a little more. I just want them to try a little harder.
You called them all chokers. Tori, you said we spent millions and they're choking and you want an explanation. So we'll get to that explanation. Liz, where are you living? How is your accommodations? Where are you living?
It is fine. It gets the job done. You know, it's not particularly warm and cozy, but it's fine. So I'm in the coastal cluster,
right.
Basically away from everyone at the Post, although I share with Chelsea James. We're just on opposite schedules, so I don't get to see her. But it's very convenient if you're covering anything indoors that involves ice. So, like figure skating, hockey, curling, speed skating. So that's where I am. But right now, I'm not there. I'm in Pyeongchang, a little more in the mountains, where I've been trying to write something today.
Do you have?
It wasn't an event day. Yes.
Steve Sands is at a great hotel with a heated toilet seat.
Oh, I want.
Do you have a heated toilet seat? Do you have that?
No, I am not. The whole broadcast experience is so different. Let's just not talk about it. I'm happy for Steve Sands.
I
wish him. Yeah.
Derriere, his warm derriere.
No. I am in basically a freshly built condo in a land of condos where all the buildings look identical. It's really hard to find your building. And they're all the same, and they've been pre-sold to families. So everything is, like, covered in plastic, including all the drawers. You can't open a single drawer or use anything because they don't want you to mess it up because somebody else is going to live there. So it's sort of like being a squatter with permission.
So what did you just put your clothes on the floor?
You just make stacks. You make stacks.
And
fat stacks.
At any point, because if I actually owned that, I would come in now. And I would make sure you got out
Change
in 30
plans.
Minutes. I'd say, I own this place. Get out of here. That's not going to happen to you?
I don't think they've turned over the keys yet.
Okay.
So, but no, I mean, everything is covered. There's even like a little false plastic floor. So we don't, and we're supposed to use slippers on the floor. I mean, really, it's like being invited to someone's house, but they don't really want you to sit down or do anything.
It's also like Joe Pesci at the end of Goodfellas. You know, when he saw that there was plastic all over the floor, and that was the end
of
Joe Pesci.
Stop.
Okay, what are you eating? What is your diet like? What are you eating?
This is not good. This is not a good story. and it has nothing to do with Korean food, which I was really looking forward to. But because I am chained to venues and I'm a slow plodding writer, so I never go anywhere, I am at the mercy of what they sell the media at these venues.
Uh-huh.
And the first 2 weeks, I swear, they would have, like, they'd have things on the menu, but they didn't have. So the first week, my diet was basically Pringles, cookies, and noodles. And
so based on that and the living arrangement, sounds like you're a freshman at college.
Yeah.
The joke is, I'm not supposed to have carbs, you know, as a diabetic. So it was a big problem. So I started squirreling away fruit, like a tangerine, a banana, and I found some yogurt, and I'd put it in my bag. Well, I didn't know you can't bring this in the venues. They find them in the metal detector.
Yes, I saw in your Twitter timeline, they confiscated a banana.
They confiscated my banana.
Right.
Yes, deadly serious. And so every day, it's like I'm some sort of drug mule. I hide at least four food items all over my person in my bag, and if they get two, I consider it a win. So I usually get through with two of my four. But the other day they asked me point blank, do you have food in your bag? And I said no, and they let me go.
Good.
Because it was in your coat or something like that?
No, she was lying.
It's in my coat. It's up my pant leg. It's everywhere. I'm kidding. And so the next day I told another lie. They're like, do you have food? And I said no. And so they wanted to look, and they found two items. They found the yogurt with like the slightly metallic lid, so I realized that no yogurt is not working anymore. So this is the most exciting part of my day. Can I get through with food?
You're lucky you're not in North Korea. You're lucky there. How's your transportation like? What is your transportation
like? It's fine. No. They have a bus system, and it works for me really well. But there are a lot of people for whom it takes two buses to go from point A to point B. But for me, it's usually a one bus stop operation to go from where I live to figure skating, or where I live to this media center. And so after we hang up, I'll go wait for this bus in the cold and go back down to my home.
So
it's fine.
I know this is work. I've done this in my life, and I understand it's work. But is there any one thing that you've seen, it doesn't even have to be Olympic related, any one thing you've seen or done where you go, you know, I'm glad I came, because that I never would have seen.
Oh, yes. And this is competition related. So, I mean, I'm going to geek out here with the figure skating, but my favorite skater in the world is Yuzuru Hanyu,
who won the gold. He won
Japanese.
The gold. Yeah.
Yeah, and he won the gold last Olympics.
Back to back.
But he hadn't competed since October, so there was great mystery and skepticism if he could even compete, much less do well. So to see him, it is just beautiful, just transcendent. It's hard to find words for the beauty of his skating. So that was an absolute thrill and an honor. And, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, it's just daily, often wordless encounters with incredibly thoughtful, gracious, welcoming Korean people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is good.
So
it is good.
The brother and sister took third last night, Shibatanis, the Shib Sibs, which I think is a really cool nickname. And they were third.
Yes.
Ice dancing is gorgeous. It is. If it's done well, it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's hard for me to know what is the difference between first, second, and third. But I accept that the judging in that was good. You're covering a lot of figure skating. Are you happy with that? Or is there something you'd rather do?
Well, generally, whether it's summer or winter Olympics, if I spend the whole time doing gymnastics indoors or the whole time doing figure skating indoors, toward the end, I really feel like I've never been anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
So there is a part of me that yearns to stand on a mountaintop in the elements and know that I've been to South Korea to the Winter Olympics. But the wind and the conditions here were so extreme, I didn't really raise my hand too eagerly to draw that straw. So, yeah, I mean, I really haven't seen snow yet, except from a bus window. And I bought these fancy heavy-duty winter boots, and I haven't even needed them. But it's not a whine. I mean, I am just fine. I'm not, you know, sick. I'm not in the hospital. And I'm seeing these great athletes.
Did you bring your Canadian mittens? Are they working? Do you need them?
Oh, my God. Yes. So not only that, I brought my Alaska hand-knitted fingerless gloves.
Right.
From Anita.
From Anita.
Tweeted about them.
Thank you, Anita.
Yeah. So they're great because figure skating, the arena is cold. So where you're working, you're typing, it's cold, but you need your fingers. So they've been great. I packed about six six pair of mittens, gloves. I mean, everything in triplicate or quadruplicate, but
stacked up on the floor.
Like every few days, I lose a glove.
Really?
So that's not good. Yeah. So I
was it like Hansel and Gretel? Are you throwing them down so you can find your way home? Because all the condos look the same. Can you imagine getting drunk every single night and you can't even find your way home? You know, as Stevie Wynn would say, I can't find my way home.
Wasted, and I can't find my way home.
Yeah. All right, can we get to Tori's?
The Canadian mittens are great. Yeah.
Can we get to Tori's complaint? Tori says,
concern.
Well, go ahead.
Articulate.
Just tell her.
Liz, nice to hear your voice. And I read all
you
your tweets.
As well.
Read all your tweets. So I just think the amount of money and resources the United States puts into this, the biggest delegation, I'm sure pound for pound we pay as much money as any other country up there. And I just think we might be doing a little better. And there seem to be a lot of these U.S. athletes who come into the games, they're the clear winner, they're the clear favorite, and they seem to choke under pressure. It's there's you know one, it happens wow. once you go it happens twice you go coincidence it happens three times you go okay there's a trend here and I just wonder are we just getting soft?
Boy, this is a long chat. First of all, I don't really. It's interesting that this is a cost benefit analysis because that's not really where I start. But I hear you. I think one thing you might be overlooking is the basic fundamental. Either conscious or subconscious hype that American sports writers make of American athletes. You know, I don't think all the coverage in the run-up is informed by how competitive the rest of the world is. There's just this tendency to think this is the great American hope, so of course it's going to mean gold. Well, the great American hope in basically anything except snowboarding is not the best in the world. It's probably like 10th best. You know what I mean?
Why is that?
Lindsey Vonn has been the best. Michaela Schifrin's been the best. Nathan Chen had been the best.
Nathan Chen fell on his can early on twice.
You got to call Barry. He's like totally into that. I just think like in figure skating, I guess, is kind of to get back to my point. The U.S. just crowned its U.S. champions, Nathan Chen and Brady Tennell. And though they both crushed at U.S. National Figure Skating Championships in January, he didn't medal. He wasn't close to Hanyu. And I don't think there's going to be a U.S., singles medal here. The Russian young ladies are just awesome. So maybe that sounds like a rationalization, but I don't know.
No, I think it's an explanation.
I mean, certainly the snowboarders, as I understand it, were just absolutely fearless.
Yeah, but we made that sport up. That's an X Games sport. We made it up. It's our sport. It's junk.
That was my point. Anything other than snowboarding.
Right.
So yeah, biathlon, Nordic.
Biathlon's great.
Bow down to Norway.
Yeah.
And the same with the speed skating. Come on.
Yeah. No, I'm very happy for Norway.
And the
very
Dutch.
Very happy for Norway.
Like the Dutch.
Love the Dutch. Dutch and all their orange
big.
And their band.
We don't do those sports.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm just so sad you're bummed, Tori, and feel that if this was a profligate. I mean, there's lots of profligate spending in sports that really makes me wretch. But as it relates to funding for Olympic athletes who many, live very meager existences and work at Home Depot, and, these are not, really, they're not living the life of Riley. They're sacrificing a lot.
You know what we should do?
This is not,
We should have, like, a chatter. Should become Home Depot does a great job.
Yes, they do.
Home Depot gives all these people jobs
and
lets them train.
Yeah.
We could hire people as servers and cooks and bartenders and let them train for the Olympics as well if they were like pretty good athletes.
Great idea.
Perfect.
We could chatter could basically
that
be an Olympic sponsor.
Put them on roller skates.
A number of them from the area. There are a handful from the DC area.
Yeah, so we could do that.
Nice.
There's some people around here. Well, all right, have a good time. I'm so sorry to hear that you have no closet space and you have to stack your clothes on the ground.
That is fine. I'm way more, I'm obsessed about food. I'm like turning into a beetle. I wake up like
looking for food, hiding food, burying food, hoping my food gets through. I go to bed thinking about food. That's it.
Why don't you go like Wilbon always did? Go to the Intercontinental Hotel and every night have the, you know, $75 buffet.
Go have $40 Jack Daniels
in a hotel.
Sands.
I don't want to know where Sands is. I don't want to know where these people in hotels are.
Anyway. Have a good time.
I'm on the home stretch.
Liz has been a tremendous follow, I should point out. At Liz Clark Tweet. Is that right, Liz? At Liz Clark Tweet's been a very entertaining and informative follow while you're there. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Liz. Bye.
Already gone.
I think she must have hung up.
Well, that's okay.
Had it.
That was wonderful, wasn't it?
I'm turning into a beagle.
The greatest thing I love about Liz is whenever she's on the road, she always appears to be, my take, not hers, she appears to be in horrible conditions and refuses to complain on any level.
She doesn't complain.
Yeah.
She doesn't complain. She's terrific. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Nigel will have news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Apropos of talking about the Olympics, where they have venues with seats, we do the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, you know, like the figure skating, planning a night out, or you need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. I imagine they're selling Olympic tickets. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I
would imagine.
I think so.
There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to help you get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Consequently, make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality pod get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Bob Dill in Herndon, Virginia, who writes, "Dear Dr. Hoff Woff, Grandpa and Chief Resident Astronomer, I moved to the area in 1988. Always enjoyed your work at the Post. Gladly found you on the radio. Since then, you've been a faithful friend of my ears during countless hours of commuting in Northern Virginia. Myself, a happy grandpa, I enjoyed writing some songs for kids that became part of their regular rotation. In light of the show's recent in-depth astronomical musings, from solar eclipses to the location of the moon, I offer this song, In My Spaceship. Unfortunately, it passes by on the moon, but of course, it helps locate Uranus in the greater scheme of things. May this song be used freely for the edification of the children of your listeners, or at least a payoff for making the kids listen to the old Orange Guy. If people want to send, like Bob Dill in Herndon, Virginia, if they want to send their music to the show, Michael, where it gets played in its entirety at the end of the podcast, how do they do it?
Please send your music into the show in MP3 format to jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And we're selling hats and we're selling umbrellas.
We are selling hats. You'll need the umbrella if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region.
That's right.
And we also have some new show-related t-shirts.
Good.
Yes.
We also sell t-shirts here. Live,
we can't compete with the chattered t-shirt prices.
Right, they're really good.
$12 American.
And by the way, in answer to one of Tori's questions today, not about why the American Olympic team is choking, but that, can she bring her children who are like in their 20s and over 6 feet tall, can she bring them for Kids Eat Free Night? It's 12 and under. Go ahead.
I have a response. Yes. So some years ago, Colin might have been 10.
Right.
So he's much smaller then. I took him out to Chicago with me to go to, I was giving some speech out there, and it was the middle of the week, it was Wednesday, an afternoon game, the Chicago Cubs were playing out at Wrigley, and I said, every kid should go to Wrigley, right? So we go out in the cab, and the game was sold out. They only had singles, and I'm standing there at the cage, right, and I look at the guy, and I said, I can't, you know, can't sit apart from my son. And he kind of, the guy looks past me, the ticket guy looks past me, he goes, can you carry him? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, can you carry your son? Colin was skinny then. And I said, yeah, why? And he says, because the rule is if you can carry your child in and they can sit with you in the seat, then they come in free. And he says, chances are you'll get in there and you'll find a couple of seats. So look at Colin. He hops on my back. And in we went. So what if I could carry him in?
Oh, that's great.
What if I could stagger and he could sit
I will
on my
pay
chair.
For your son's dinner if you could carry him
I would like to see him on your back
through
now.
The threshold. Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
What are the chances of this?
That's
Challenge zero. Accepted. Right,
then he can
That's
eat.
Great.
Okay, thank
but
you.
But he has to eat from the kids' menu and only solitary portions. He can't eat. I mean, also, the other rule is if you're still paying for your children's cell phone, as I am, as my children are in their 30s, they get to eat for free.
I eat for free here anyway.
Well, there you do. So there. All right. Do you have some news for us?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off in the world of baseball. The Red Sox, long rumored to be... signing J.D. Martinez finally
they
got that done yesterday.
Five years,
$110 million, but he has an opt-out after the second year.
Game on with the Yankees, year. Right? Once the Yankees went and got Giancarlo Stanton, the Red Sox had to do something. Now, this is what they did.
Yeah, and I think if you just look at it, you're like, oh, well, Stanton's the much better hitter. I mean, he won the MVP last year. But if you look
at J.D. Martinez had a spectacular year.
And for the last 4 years, I think the only better hitter by certain stats that you look at would be Mike Trout. So this is a big signing for
him. It is a big signing. For not as much money as he wanted.
That's right.
But more money than I make.
Yes.
More money than you make.
And he can opt out, a little bit more than I do. And he can opt out after the second year to re-enter free agency if the market is better at that point.
Okay.
The Padres, the other day, signed Eric Hosmer to an eight-year, $144 million deal.
Eric Hosmer's really good.
Yeah.
And when Kansas City won the World Series a few years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, people got to see how good the players were on Kansas City. But the San Diego Padres are not competitive.
Not really.
They are not competitive. You've just signed away the rest of your career. Now, you won a World Series. You got a ring. But you've signed away the rest of your career. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? It's a lot of money. It's $144 million.
It's a nice place to lose.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you're going to be somewhere,
that's what I think.
San Diego.
It's a nice place to lose and have $140 million.
Jake Arrieta's still out there. Mike Moustakas is still out there. He's a good player.
That's right.
And they're out there. They're the best two players that are out there right now.
One player who's not out there yet, but could be next year, is Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to talk about free agency. But he told the media, he said, we're not going to discuss free agency.
I'm not here to talk about the future.
I'm not here to talk about the future. I'm here to talk about the past. And he said, listen, if you...
Here's his exact quote. Just want to let you guys know I will not be discussing anything relative to 2019 at all. I'm focused on this year. I'm focused on winning and playing hard like every single year. So if you guys have any questions about anything after 2018, you can call Scott Boras. That's his agent. And he can answer you guys. So I'm not going to answer any questions. If you guys do ask anything or talk about anything about that, I'll be walking right out that door. Now, I happen to have Scott Boras' number. So I can call Scott Boras if I chose to. But if I was working baseball games and I was covering the Washington Nationals, or I was covering any other team that the Washington Nationals showed up to play, I'd be asking about that. And if Bryce Harper wanted to walk out that door, I'd watch him walk out that door. But my job would be, every once in a while, to ask him about free agency in the future and what he was thinking in that moment. It would be. I don't think Harper will walk out the door all the time. I think he'll say, I got a policy on this. I think you can do it politely. But I mean, and I'm walking right out.
I didn't have an issue with the quote except for that last part. I wish he hadn't said that. I've never been a journalist.
He seems like a nice fellow.
I don't have any question. I don't have any issue with what you're suggesting. And I think it's fine that if when asked that, he says, look, guys, I've told you I'm not going to talk about it.
I'll take any other question. Else? We go through this every day and my answer is the same. That's how you do
it. Right,
right.
I agree. Yeah.
I think he's entitled to say exactly what he wants to say and say that, and reporters should continue to ask the question if it's important. And I think, as somebody at this table says often, you sit in front of a microphone often enough, you'll say something poorly or you'll say
it in
a way you wish you hadn't, and he probably wishes
just
he had said
a little combative.
Your feet in stone like that?
Well, he's Bryce Harper.
Well, why do that? So you get this story trending in the weeks leading up to when, baseball spring training games actually start. This is somebody who uses his walk-up music in very political ways. The difference between his second at-bat to his third at-bat song sends a message to the fans. So this is just another example of him playing the media. I think it's a mistake to take that hardline stance of walking out, because eventually I think that would affect his on-field performance. A guy who tends to get injured and sometimes overreaches in terms of what he wants to do to prove others on the field. So I'm looking at it more in the political way, but it's easy enough to just try and give them a little bit of something.
Just say, look, I'm not going to deal with it. Our relationship's going to be fine. But if you ask me about that, I'm going to shut it down. But don't say I'm going to get up and walk out the door.
Again, consider the source.
Yeah.
Big news from baseball yesterday, other than these free agent signings, is the pace of game situation. And baseball is now going to institute a couple of things, but not a pitch clock. They will have a limit on mound visits and reduce commercial breaks between innings. I think it's going to be down
six.
To, It's six per game. Yeah, six
mound
visits.
Not counting taking out a pitcher.
Right. Or injuries, and there's some discretion with the home plate umpire.
This is something to talk to Torrey about, because this is very important. The notion is that Major League Baseball backed off the pitch clock, and they did for this year. This is a very political act that Major League Baseball did. Major League Baseball made a big show of saying a few weeks ago, we're going to have a pitch clock. And the players predictably said, what are you talking about? We can't.
Predictably and understandably.
And understandable.
Yeah.
So Major League Baseball said, okay, we're going to give them this one, even though it's totally invented. Totally invented. We're going to give them this. And we're going to get a few things that we really want as well. And they're going to give them to us because they're going to feel obliged. Six visits to the mound. Just think how many times a pitching coach comes out. Not because the manager takes out the pitcher.
That's right.
Pitching coach comes out at least three times a game. Catcher goes out to the mound 10 to 15 times a game. First baseman, third baseman, out to the mound 6-8 times a game. Now you can't do that. Now you can take out the pitcher, but you just cannot make endless visits to the mound. Players gave on their good for baseball, right? Baseball did a smart thing.
But how could Major League Baseball not have known ahead of making that decision on the clock? How could they not have known?
Of course they knew.
Yeah, they knew. It was a political negotiation.
It was a straw horse. Yeah. Is that what that's called, a straw horse?
A very public negotiation? Did they have to do it that way?
Well, I think by doing it that way, the players get up in arms. Now the players think they've won. Players haven't won anything.
No.
They'll come back with the pitch clock next year.
No, but I do think they should.
The pitch clock's good.
For the fans, everyone who goes out to the mound should be mic'd, because then we get those great conversations like Bull Durham.
Yeah,
when you're holding your hands up, you get a bucket of chicken.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, candlesticks are always
good.
So that would be great. But this is anything to speed up the game is good.
Agreed.
This is marginal, though. Yes. These are marginal things.
But if you have six marginal things and they add up to 15 minutes a game, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the reduction of the commercial breaks, I think, will have an impact as well. 2 minutes and 5 seconds
for
regular season games.
I'm a little surprised at that, because that's money.
That is money.
That's funny.
I wonder if they'll have like a banner.
But you know what they'll do
is they'll figure out a way.
Yeah, to Nigel's point, they'll figure out a way to either run a banner, or you saw this in the NFL this year where they would sort of shrink the screen so they'd stay on the game in a small screen, and then three quarters go with a commercial. Yeah. They'll do that during those six mound visits.
In golf, they call it playing through. They have the double box, and this they'll call it on deck, and they'll show what's the warm ups or who's up next.
What else you got?
Well, apparently we're all still wondering why Malcolm Butler did not start and did not really play in the Super Bowl. But his teammate, Devin McCourty, said yesterday, we all knew he wasn't starting all week. That wasn't a secret to the guys on the team. Even though the bloke that replaced him in the starting back lineup, Eric Rowe, said after the Super Bowl he didn't know he would be starting until close to kickoff.
The point isn't that they knew he wouldn't start. Although, I don't know that he knew he wouldn't start, because he was crying.
Yes.
He was physically crying. Yeah. They still haven't said why he didn't start. And not starting is not playing. It's not playing at all, except once in special teams.
Right.
So we don't yet know, and I don't know how everybody here feels about that. I'm good with that, because if I ever thought about playing for the Patriots, and I felt that anything that happened to me personally would be out there and everybody would know about that, I wouldn't want that. I respect the fact that Belichick has not revealed anything other than we just put the players out there that we thought could help us win the game the most. And I mean, other teams, other places, they tell you. They leak stuff.
This is astonishing. But stuff leaked out, right?
It was during and right after the Super Bowl. Stuff leaked out. It was all second and third hand.
But I think he denied all of that.
Yeah, it's been denied by both parties.
Might very well not have been true.
Might not have, but I don't know. In the emotion of the moments, I kind of believe. But it seemed to be from several different places.
But not from the Patriots. Might have been from Patriot. Not from Patriot management. Okay. Not from coaching staff. From ownership.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a player, that should be very important. That coaches don't do that.
But it had to have been something pretty serious for Belichick to bench him, right?
I think. Yeah. But I don't know what it was. Do you have anything else? You have a funny story?
I do have a funny story about a cruise ship.
Judge it.
A cruise ship.
Norovirus?
No.
Someone over the side?
That's always funny.
Even better.
Yeah, no, that is fun.
Someone over the side?
No, not someone over the side. How about this? A massive brawl. Yes, that's right. The Carnival Legend, which was going from Melbourne to New South Wales, had to make an unscheduled stop in Eden, New South Wales, because there had been a large brawl involving a, and I'm using quotes here, a big Italian family that had spent the first 3 days of the
big,
crew.
Is that in terms of a lot of people or big like size?
I'm going to let you interpret that how you will.
Okay.
But apparently for the first 3 days of the cruise, they were terrorizing everybody, taunting people, trying to get into fights.
A couple dozen of them, right?
Why?
23. 23 in the family.
Eating all the coconut shrimp at the buffet.
Exactly.
Why?
They were just looking for trouble, and specifically
Crew members?
Looking to fight Australians on the cruise. So I bet there's some deep-seated rivalry between Italy and Australia.
I never would have guessed that.
Aware of. And then it blew up on the third day of the cruise. Somebody
share a border?
I think
Australia has no borders.
In Australia,
there's an island.
An Australian passenger stepped on the flip-flop of one of the Italian
It's on like Donkey Kong.
And then it was on, as you say, like Donkey Kong, a full pitch brawl which involved some of the crew at some point. Now, I've seen the video of this, and the crew are seen kicking people while they're down. One crew member sees somebody videotaping the whole thing, and on several attempts tries to swat it away.
Godfather style.
Finally, yeah, and at some point, the people complained.
You need Jimmy Kahn. Jimmy Kahn and his guys throw 20s out there and have cameras. 50s.
Right, Santino. At some point before the attacks actually happened, the people went to the captain and said, you've got to do something about it. He says, what do you want me to do about it? Throw them overboard? So people are really upset with the cruise line. They have come back and said, listen, we understand this.
Well, they did
a bad
force
experience.
Them off, but they waited until they
finally, after 3 days, they went to New Eden and they said, all right, you lot, the 23 of you, go home. You can't be on this boat anymore.
Did they get the money refunded?
Well, the rest of the people have gotten a 25% discount to future cruises.
I love when they do
that. That's the
worst. You're forced to go on another cruise.
We'll cut our margin the next time you come.
Forced to go on another cruise. Very good.
That's amazing, though, because those boats, I mean, I don't know the Carnival Legend. I guess I could look it up. But those boats are, they got a couple thousand people on them. That 20 could be so disruptive.
Yes, more than
I remember there was one.
I am the captain now.
There was one terrible cruise ship story, and I don't remember what it was, but it turned out that it was a cruise ship that left from Mobile, Alabama, and you could get a week for $295.
No.
You get a full week, all the food and drink you
get
wanted.
What you pay for.
$295, and you thought, wow, that doesn't seem like Steve Sands getting a toilet seat that's heated.
The only drawback was you had to be on it with 2,000 people who bought a cruise for $295.
Just didn't.
2124, the capacity of the Carnival Legend.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Olga, right?
That's
Olga
right.
Olga will return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. I used the Brooklinen sheets that I got.
Oh,
I used them last week. They were wonderful.
Yeah, you liked them, right?
I did like them. I thought they were terrific. I mean, everybody's supposed to, like, talk about their own personal experience. These were gray pinstripe sheets. I like them very, very much.
Are they still gray after Chessie threw up on them?
They're still gray. Chessie did not throw up on these.
Okay.
Didn't throw up on these.
Wouldn't dare.
And I'll use them again next week. I mean, you know, I think they're very nice. They also sent a duvet cover. But there was some question about using the duvet cover only because Chessie. Yeah, it gets.
With the claws.
Yeah, and no, just gets mud on everything.
Oh, sure.
Just gets mud on everything. Brooklinen. Well, those were talking about the new bedding I discovered. So there you go. You spend a third of your life on sheets. They make a difference how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with better sheets. Brooklinen.com. Highest quality sheets. No big markup. It's founded in 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Phillip. Their philosophy was beautiful home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 12,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category. There's a category for everything, isn't there? By Good Housekeeping. Versatile colors and patterns. You can mix and match to complement any decor. It's luxury bedding and it's underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. There's an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and you get free shipping when you use the promo code TonyK at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Lifetime warranty? That's the life of you or the life of the sheet? The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code TonyK at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, brooklinen.com, promo code TonyK, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is Dusty Springfield, one of the most overlooked and underrated performers in the whole British Invasion era. In terms of critical commentary, I'm just going to tell you, this is a great song. There's a better song than Son of a Preacher Man. I used to walk my dog, the Puna, in the late 60s, and I used to sing this song to myself all the time because I love this song.
It's a great song.
Love this song. What do you got?
This song was written...
Dusty Springfield died about 6-7 years ago, right?
That's
maybe
right.
More.
Yeah. This song was written by Mike Hawker for his new bride, Jean Ryder. And he wrote it because he was just so in love with her. And he said, yeah, this is just what I love. And then he got a call from Dusty Springfield's producer and said, look, we've been trying all these songs for Dusty. None of them are working. Could you give us something? And so with his wife's permission, because it was supposed to be something she would sing. She was a singer. Said, can we give this to Dusty?
This is great.
Dusty heard it and said, yeah, I'd like to sing it. This became her first big hit. And the second hit for the British Invasion. After the Beatles.
So wow. So Gary just pointed out she didn't die 5 or 6 years ago.
1999.
She died 20 years ago. Dusty Springfield. She is really, really good. So I'm curious. I'm glad Tori is here because Tori has dogs.
Yes, multiple. We have a herd now.
So this morning, so for Can't people who are not off, familiar right. with the weather in Washington, D.C., and there's no reason why you have to be, but it snowed and sleeted on Saturday afternoon. And there was an accumulation that covered the ground, 1 or 2 inches, not anything tremendous, and it wasn't hard to drive in, it was slushy, but it covered the ground. When you take a dog out and they can't sniff what they're normally sniffing, this is very confounding for dogs. They don't really know what to do. It was only today, because even yesterday, there was still some snow cover in areas that the sun
really
didn't
saturated,
hit.
Too.
Right. But only today, where it's going to be 70 degrees, and overnight it was 50 degrees. So everything is melted. So when I took Chessie out this morning, what is normally a 20-minute walk was a 40-minute walk because she could sniff. She had to go slow under all the spots that she normally goes to on this particular walk and leave a trail of her own scent, 10, 12 times.
She had to make up for lost time in the last couple of days.
Dogs don't like to go out in the rain. They don't.
No.
And they don't. And as much as they like snow, snow is confounding for them.
It's confounding. I think sometimes there's actually the physicality of they want the dirt or the ground under their paws. There's something to do with that. I think it's one of the reasons puppies like carpets when they're in your house. And now we have 3 instead of 2. And boy, it takes a long time to walk them.
By the way, dogs eat for half price here on various weekday nights.
Excellent. Young
puppies or full dogs?
Full dogs, half price.
If you can carry it in. If you can carry it in.
One's a vegan. Do we have vegan food here?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, I agree completely. And
why
the walking
is one of
takes
your dogs a vegan?
Political choice.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. No problem with that.
They're just dogs.
Okay. So it takes a lot longer.
Yeah. So I had a very long walk with the dog this morning, and it occurred to me that it was because the ground was finally available.
Can I seek some advice from the listeners on the deer this morning? The deer, to alert people, I see the deer in the street all the time. Front yard, in front of the holly hedge, fine. In the backyard today, this morning, fenced in. In the fenced in part of the yard.
How big is the fence?
5.5 feet.
There's nothing for deer.
What if you put concertina wire up on the top?
I don't walk
still.
Over that.
You put a tower up there.
They may have even opened the gate.
That's standing high jump at the combine. just easy for them. 5 feet, nothing.
But this is...
Deer do go 8, 10, 12 feet in the air.
There will be action. This will not stand.
What do you want to do?
They are not allowed in my fenced-in backyard. And torturing the dogs. It was before 5 o'clock
this
morning. You're
going to take them to small claims court? What are you going to do?
And Michael could be there on the jury.
Side with the deer.
They drove the dogs crazy because the dogs are in the kitchen at 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning, and they can see with the glass door. They can see the deer going by, giving them his little deer finger, and drove them crazy. So this just can't stand.
Fergie's anthem. I think it's time. Oh. I think it's time to discuss it. Gary, your thoughts.
God bless her.
I think anyone who saw it would think that it was terrible. It wasn't terrible in like the Roseanne Barr. It wasn't offensive.
Right.
I felt like referenced. She was trying to do something that wasn't working, which was sort of her admission.
I thought it was actually offensive. I'll tell you why. Ooh. She's a professional singer. So, she's not Roseanne Barr. She's a professional singer. She's a very good singer. But she tried to do that Marilyn Monroe thing.
That's what
she
that
tried
was my
to do
take.
That breathy Marilyn Monroe thing, which is fine if you're singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President. This is the
national anthem.
Let
me push back
anthem.
A little bit.
Why are you doing this?
Because you're doing it at an event that has a history of, I don't want to say reinterpreting, but reinterpreting that song. I mean, that event in particular, there is sort of, you know, there is some mythology.
You know the Charles Barkley quote?
No.
Where he said, when she was done, I felt like I have to have a cigarette.
Yeah. No, that's great.
And there was somebody had a funny line that even Colin Kaepernick said, you're ruining the end.
Let me say, was saved by the cutaway shot, specifically for me, the one near the end of Draymond Green literally laughing, just like, what are we listening to? And I thought
she made a very gracious apology.
Was pitch perfect.
She made a very gracious apology. She did try to do something. It didn't particularly work. But it was rare to me because she's a professional singer.
Yeah.
She's a good singer. But
what surprised me is people like Fergie are surrounded by huge teams of people who work with her and produce her music and produce her shows.
And, say, Fergie,
and didn't somebody along the way go, no.
Yeah, what are you thinking of on this one?
Yeah.
You had to have a sound check.
I think she was poorly staffed.
Yeah, so that didn't help her. All right.
But I think her career is more of a performer. So, yes, she is a singer and has a background, you know, with vocals. But everything she does is going through a microphone that is then going to be modulated to whatever vision she and her team has. So for her, she overreached in trying to take this into four or five different directions rather than, you know, a straight singing of the national anthem, which probably would have served her better. And in a studio, all of those misses probably could be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she knew she wasn't in
the
studio.
The weird thing about
it's a big band sound.
Compared to...
What her group. What's the name of her group?
Black Eyed Peas.
They're big.
Compared to, like, Roseanne Barr or Carl Lewis. Bad ones. But, like, they couldn't maybe necessarily do any better. They're not singers. That was the weird thing. It's like, she could do better. You know? And so that was sort of like, what are you doing?
It was Fergalicious.
It's the national anthem. You know, I mean, if it was something else, it would...
So Marvin Gaye's title as the best anthem ever still
safe for one year. Okay, other than Marvin Gaye, just play that.
Right.
What is the problem here?
I would be fine with
that. Was that good, and that was an interpretation.
Yes,
but not in it was bad. Anyway. So here's one thing I wanted to talk about, and it is the Daytona 500. And I mentioned that I didn't see the Daytona 500. I didn't even know it was on.
Really snuck up on us.
I'm not the only one who didn't know it was on.
Yep.
Their ratings were terrible. Their ratings, the overnight on Fox, was down 22% from 2017, down 16% from 2016, down 30% from 2015. Not from ages ago, from recent years. Down, down, down. Last year was the second least watched ever, and this was far worse. In 2006... they had an 11.3 rating and 19.3 million people watched that. Their rating was a 5-1. Their rating was a 5-1. That's more than half down. I find the Daytona 500 and NASCAR very interesting because I'm old enough to have seen all of the things that happened. In the 1970s and into the 1980s, there was a great push in urban America towards country music. Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and country stars, not the kind of groups they have now, solo country artists, Johnny Cash, people like that, became very popular and de rigueur in large cities. And if you weren't familiar with their music, you were a snob and you didn't know what was going on in America. And the easiest way to get people in cities to feel guilty about something is saying, you're not part of America. I mean, you see this all now, blue state, red state stuff.
Yeah.
You see this now. So in that period of time, 70s and 80s, country music and the corollary ascendance of country music's favorite sport, stock car racing. I didn't grow up with stock car racing on Long Island. Stock car racing was a regional sport in the South. Also, oddly enough, in certain places in California, because Jimmy Johnson and who's the other guy who I like a lot, Jeff Gordon, they're California guys. By the 90s, the country music sweep may have begun to peter out, but not stock cars. Stock cars were still on the ascendancy. So in the late 90s, early aughts, ESPN spent an unbelievable pile of dough on getting stock car racing, getting NASCAR. Did as good a job with it as they could, never got the Daytona 500. Fox always kept the Daytona 500. That's the Super Bowl, everybody says, of stock car racing. And for a while, that was a big deal. It has crashed with the very people that they needed to like it. It is now, once again, a very regionalized sport. It had the same basic number as the NBA All-Star game. And you would say, well, it conflicted with the NBA All-Star. No, it didn't. Nothing. It started in the afternoon, early afternoon. The All-Star game didn't start at night.
Olympics a factor?
No. The last time the Olympics were played, they had a much higher rating.
So why do you think?
I think it's just old because people say, what am I watching? What am I watching here? I don't understand
it. Wait, how could, for years, millions and millions and millions of people watch and love it and think it was great, and all of a sudden they wake up and go, oh, wait, I'm watching a fake car go around a
circle?
But
it's obviously been in decline. It's four
years
in a row.
Yeah, they don't wake up. They die off.
Why do you think it is?
I have absolutely no idea.
I think it was a false sort of bubbling up. And then when people got to understand it, they just said, this is not for me.
I went to the Daytona 500 years ago and was just stunned at first the size of the crowds. And
hundreds
it's not just race day, right? People go in their days in advance and their RVs. It's a whole thing. And I thought,
it's a
wow.
Culture. It's actually a whole culture.
Yeah, and I thought, here's a whole culture of which I'm completely unaware.
I think all of that's great. And I had a really good time. I drove with Jimmy Johnson in a car. I really enjoyed all of it, except the race. Because the race is endless. You just can't sit and just watch them go around and around and around. It's different than football or baseball. They're just going around.
How long does it take? Doing. Maybe they need to shorten it. Maybe it's couple like baseball.
Hours.
They need
couple
to shorten it.
Well, how are you going to shorten the Daytona 500?
The 250.
Daytona 100.
The Daytona 30?
Yeah. Daytona 1.
It's 500.
10. Yeah, make it one.
It's 500.
The 500 light.
Sprint. Yeah. Or make it a sprint.
Well, it's always the last lap is the only thing that counts anyway. So
sure.
We didn't talk. Liz knows this because Liz covered this. But there was the boomlet, and now there's what is it? What is it in the areas that it needed to become a big sport?
Has something replaced it?
I don't know.
Curling?
People talk about cord cutting. I don't. Cord cutting affects everything.
Well, yeah, everything is affected by some degree of erosion and
cable
and cord
cutting. Why would
cord cutting
affect NASCAR more than anything else?
I don't know.
That would be.
I don't have anything smart to say. I just found it interesting. It just seems to have cratered.
Yeah, quickly. I mean, those not to be down 30% in 3 years.
You know, and I didn't even know it was on. I didn't know it was on, and I usually
where was like it that, on Fox?
Fox, and it's always on Fox. But that means
that's what I was gonna say.
That means on the run up, we didn't talk about it at all on PTI. We're a sports show. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about, you know, the first place finisher and the second place finisher, which was the more, you know, transcendent story, you know, because there'd never been a black driver who's won this, and a black driver finished second and maybe the biggest star on the horizon.
And did you hear his interview afterwards?
Fabulous.
It was
broke down.
Incredible.
It was great. So these are attractive people when you hear them, but we didn't even say, like, Mike and I didn't say on Friday, well, who's going to win? We always do that. We didn't do it. I didn't know it was on. I'm supposed to know.
So then that's why I was wondering if it was still on Fox, because they typically do a great job of promoting their stuff. Now, the Super Bowl was not on Fox this year, and had it been, it would have been promoted heavily, which would have contributed to your
number. So I asked Kelleher, was it on later in the calendar, earlier in the calendar?
Snuck up
was
on it, you. It's like, you know, Valentine's Day.
He said most of the time it's on a little bit later. A little bit later, but still I don't know. All right, that's it. Right, I'm done.
Yeah, you're done.
We will have email and jingles when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm, you know, half waff. Half waff is, that's
well,
enough.
I mean, yeah.
That's enough.
Eat it, Pulitzer.
Half waff. Here's a half waff.
Excellent.
It's a big deal, just ask Tony. He has his own podcast, and he thinks he has a PhD. Pulitzer never managed to achieve. The chatter honors him with a grilled cheese. That's right, he's a Hoff-Waff. He will tell you this 100 times. Make that 1,000 times, and Wilbon's not surprised.
Kirsten Ohnstedt. Fabulous.
Might be my favorite ever.
Great.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Liz Clark for coming on with us today. Let me thank the sponsors too, Brooklyn and SeatGeek and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, excuse me, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Lee is in the audience today. It is his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Lee.
He's a member at RTJ, nice. And he didn't invite either me or Michael to come play. on a beautiful day like today.
After the public shame.
There's still tomorrow.
Marcus in Phoenix just wanted to inform you that my oldest masculine child gets it. He's required to do reading every night for his first grade class. He gets to choose the books he reads for this particular homework. The newest book he's reading is titled Zombie Butts from Uranus. Upon discovering the title, I started laughing to myself, and he noticed, and he said, "What? Uranus is always funny." Yep, I'm clearly succeeding at this whole parenting thing.
Well done.
From Jim Fletcher, I'm a 70-year-old Peace Corps volunteer serving in the Republic of Moldova.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, just west of Romania and east of the Ukraine. On Friday's show, you spoke about leg cramps. I have a surefire method for their prevention. Put a bar of soap, yes, any old bar of soap, under the sheets near your legs. I know it sounds spurious, but it works. Give it a try. Thanks for the podcast. It keeps me sane.
That's insane. If it works, I'm going to research that.
We have to do that. Bar of soap.
Bar of soap.
Gary Johnson. Last night, my wife was taking a yoga class online. I was sitting on the couch nearby during much of the session and noticed as the teacher began to wind things down, she employed a gentle voice and music from a harmonium. Lovely, but in the background, one could hear the sounds of what must have been renovation going on inside the yoga studio. I turned towards my wife and quietly said, "Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering." She continued on, neither looking at me nor breaking her concentration. Powerful stuff, that yoga. Gary Johnson, Warwick, New York, Colgate 72.
There seems to be a lot of support for the bar of soap relieving the leg cramps.
You just put it in the bed? You don't put it on your leg?
Unwrapping a bar of soap and leaving it under the sheets.
Okay, how does it come up? Who comes up with that?
42% of people allegedly use the soap to relieve their nighttime leg cramps.
How could that be?
It's also rumored it can relieve pain in restless leg syndrome, RLS.
Wow.
I'm not familiar.
Ron Flatter in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Who works with Brent.
Flatter.
Right? Perhaps Chessie did not respond to the Westminster Kennel Club telecast because the TV did not smell like a dog. She is no fool. If you have her vomit on the screen, she might pay more attention to it. Simply tune to the Hallmark Channel, and I think she will reciprocate with a form of streaming that has been so elusive to you.
So a little more info. It's believed that the magnesium in the soap stops the problem because magnesium deficiency is a leading cause of both restless leg syndrome and leg cramps.
By the way, do you know what I watched a little bit of last night? The annual rescue dog show where they had dogs do things like fetch the ball and bring the ball back and... dogs sing and dogs smile and stuff like that. It was lovely.
Chessie would win that if she could
carry the barrel of whiskey up the mountain.
She can do that, but she doesn't give you the frisbee. She just keeps the frisbee. Mike Villarosa in Chicago. In my 28 years on this earth, I've never ridden in a Subaru. Within the last 2 weeks, I've ridden in two. I was just writing to let you know of my superiority to most other littles now. This recent significant self-improvement has launched me ahead into Saliza levels of arrogance and aloofness. Perhaps I should hang up and eat it now. Mike from Burke, Virginia. I heard one of your magnificent reads on Monday, and you noted that you don't shop on the internet. I had an immediate flash of you driving your bleeping horse-drawn carriage to the social Safeway, tying up the horses out front while Chessie guards the wagon and Bootsy draws a bucket of water, strolling into the Safeway and ordering a bag of flour, a new butter churn, and a sarsaparilla to cool your parched throat. After one too many sarsaparillas, you turn around and offer to fight any man in the house with cutting remarks at 10 paces. From Catherine Faye in Chicago. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, please tell Michael to ask Tori if she did the Peloton ride live from Pyeongchang with Natalie Morales as one of the riders in the audience either Friday or Sunday, and if she preferred the 30 or 45 minute ride.
I did not, because it seemed a little too intimidating to me. But if you haven't read Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal write about participating in that, you have to read it, because he almost on television or on the stream almost lost his breakfast.
Is that right?
Yeah, but it's a great idea. Peloton people are brilliant.
John Barnes, Alexandria, Virginia. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, could you wish the woman who I'm related to by mortgage a happy 56th birthday this Friday, February 23rd? She will not care in the least and will probably be more irritated than pleased, which will make me very happy.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I like that marriage. Happy birthday. Although we don't know who. Oh, it looks like it's Rebecca. Rebecca's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bye tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
If I wish one of you guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles so you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have waking up every day.
Thanks, everybody.
It's the pain I have.
wish to ask, wish to ask from inside. Lunatics will thank you and so much, expecting so much. And if you are really good, they will free up your time, free up your minded as well as the means to live in health, such physical work requires. Hard physical work requires of leisure time, leisure time to live within bodies of rest and motion. See what is there, do what needs to be done. What will happen will, and the day approaches when help, though always needed, need not be so long.
I saw the sun go down, but I think the sun is still around. So mama, don't lock the door, I'm blasting off right from the floor into the sky. I'm gonna fly in my spaceship on a sea of light. Yeah, the night is dark, but the stars are bright. I'm gonna find my way that Milky Way. In my spaceship, in my spaceship. Then I'll cross the solar system, see the planets, let me list them. Mercury and Venus too, Earth is home to me and you. Mars, Jupiter and Saturn, Uranus and Neptune get their turn. Even demoted old Pluto, a long way to go in my spaceship on a sea of light. Yeah, the night is dark, but the stars are bright. Gonna find my way to that Milky Way in my spaceship, in my spaceship. Well, now I'm far away, out here on the Milky Way. You know it's not a candy bar, it's really just a zillion stars. So I'll turn around and head my spaceship back on down to my landing strip and end this trip in my spaceship. On a sea of light, yeah, the night is dark, but the stars are bright. Gonna find my way to that Milky Way in my spaceship, in my spaceship, in my spaceship. On a sea of light, yeah, the night is dark, but the stars are bright. Gonna find my way to that Milky Way in my spaceship, in my spaceship.
For the liftoff, all systems are go and beginning final countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, main engine burn, and 4, 3, 2, 1, booster ignition, liftoff.